This is the Seahawkers Podcast, episode 366. I'm Brandon Schultz of the Military Seahawkers, and joining me, my good buddy and Montana Seahawker, Adam Emmert.
Man, good to see you on this beautiful morning. It's been a minute since we've got to sit down and do this, so I just want to thank everybody for having some patience with me and my travel schedule, and finally have a minute here before I take off again this afternoon.
Yeah.
To, get one together here with Brandon. So this will be fun because there's things that happen.
There's lots of things that happened. And really, I think it's probably a welcome break for a lot of people because now we've had a chance to kind of recover from just one of the worst NFL seasons of football, especially the way it ended. And
there wasn't a season last year. I don't know what you're talking about.
We're just going to skip right over 2020 to 2022.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Never happened.
Huh? Yeah. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I don't know what happened either because it caused a bunch of coaching changes within the Seahawks staff, at least at the top on the defensive coordinator side and even really throughout the defense. So we have some coaching changes to talk about. We've got pick'em winners. Even though there wasn't a season, we have people who picked games and came out as winners. So I don't know how that worked, but hey, we have winners. We're going to talk about it. And of course,
they have a gift. They have a gift. That's the way they managed to win the season that didn't exist.
It's pretty incredible. And plus, we've got Wandre Diggs going on to some podcasts and talking about that. So there's some things here.
There's a bunch of things. Where did you want to start?
You want to finish chewing? What are you doing? Just eating on the show?
Just eating a Tums. I needed some daddy candy. Had a little heartburn there, and that it's probably caused by not only my coffee and my breakfast burrito, which was a little spicy, but probably from the hiring of our defensive staff here.
Yeah, it's like, maybe that's there's one thing heartburn. That peeves me more. It's when people are chewing, when I can tell they're chewing something on a podcast.
I'm being the Tums equivalent of the Cookie Monster.
All right. Well, let's start off with the biggest of Seahawks news. There was a coaching change at defensive coordinator. Ken Norton Jr. out. Clint Hurt hired. We heard from you, Adam, through YouTube. You put out your reaction. Clinton and I have talked about it a little bit, but now it is official with Clint Hurt being the announced guy and some other changes too. But now that you've had maybe a week or so to digest it, are you still feeling kind of the same way you were when the news first hit you?
Well, to a degree. I'm definitely, if I'm going to put it on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like, you nailed it, and 1 being like, let's just sell the team. Like, what's the point anymore? I put this at probably about a 6 for me. It's fine. I'm disappointed, though. I just really think that this was, as I said on the little video, a lateral move. What really changed here? And some people will be like, oh, well, I've been seeing articles that we're not going to drop linemen in coverage anymore. Like, that, there's a big change. Well, okay, cool. Like, neat. Problem is that, I like Clint Hurt, the person. He sounds like an awesome dude, and I'm excited for him to have the opportunity, and I can't wait for him to make me look stupid. I'm really excited for that. But I said the term yes, man, when referring to Clint Hurt, and boy, the Seahawks PR guys and all the guys that are tight with the organization, they did not like that phrase. My goodness. If I read another article talking about how, oh, well, Clint Hurt's not just a yes man, and all the dumb fans that say that he's just a yes man, they're idiots. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. I mean, good Lord, there's 50 of those articles that came out.
Well, that it is kind of weird that would come out that way when Clint Hurt himself is interviewed and they say, well, they bring up the same thing. Fans think that you're just going to be the puppet for Pete Carroll. Or I don't think that's how they phrased it.
One of Pete's puppets. Yeah.
But he's like, well, Pete's the head coach. So the coach gets what he wants. And, no matter who they hire, that's what you say when you're asked about a question about your boss.
Right. So I guess my disappointment is less that he has to answer to the head coach. It's more that, how many fresh ideas are coming with Clint Hurt? I mean, he's Pete's disciple. So it's just more of Pete ball. Like, I don't see how this is a change, I guess, is what I'm really getting at, other than it's a different face and a different name and a different voice. Because at the end of the day, he's got all of Pete's same ideas for the most part, right? I'm sure he's got a few wrinkles and that's cool. But the overall philosophy and their overall just idea of how to play defense, it's going to be exactly how Pete would think. And I think that's exactly the opposite of what we needed. I think we needed fresh ideas and some fresh blood. And there were guys available. There were real defensive coordinators available. And if I hear one more person say, well, this is the best they could do out of the, quote, realistic candidates, go screw yourself. Right. This is the same kind of mindset people say about the DCs when somebody like Brian Flores got hired
as a linebackers coach for the Steelers. So he wasn't
impossible.
Oh, he wouldn't have taken a defensive coordinator position. No. He wouldn't have stepped down. He stepped down all the way to linebacker coach.
Exactly. So give me a break that those options weren't realistic. Those were absolutely realistic. Those would be championship hires and the team totally whiffed. Now, maybe they weren't interested in the team. That could be a whole nother issue. And well, I mean, that's another discussion to be had, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm curious to hear a bit more about what you think. I feel like I've talked about this ad nauseum for a couple of weeks now. Again, just a meh hire.
It seems to me that if the move to make was to put Clint Hurt at defensive coordinator, why don't you make that decision in the middle of the season? Make him the interim coach if you knew halfway through the season. Now, I know it looks bad for Ken Norton Jr., and it's an embarrassment in some ways to get fired in the middle of the season, but the outcome is still the same. If he knew he was going to be let go, wouldn't you think you would want to know that as soon as possible so you could start making your future plans? Now, good thing for him, he lands on his feet. He goes down to LA, he's coaching the defense for UCLA. Or maybe the linebackers. But yeah, you get it out there. People talk about you a whole lot more. And a guy like that, with the history that he's had, he's going to find a job. So I'm so not concerned about how things are going to be for Ken Norton Jr. He's going to be fine. Then if you make that change in the middle of the season and you say, oh, and this would put more fans behind Clint Hurt, saying, well, you made this change in the middle of the season. These things happen. They stop dropping Carlos Dunlap into coverage, and you can point to Clint Hurt. The defense rallies around him. And you, even if you have the same kind of finish that the Seahawks did to the last season that didn't happen, then you start to build that support and say, okay, well, now we are excited because, yes, he's interim DC, but now he's the actual DC, and I would be so much more excited just based on how the season played out.
Yeah, you'd have a little tape to go off of, and you'd have an idea. And also, too, like, why not? That's a great point. I hadn't thought about it in those terms. Like, why not give him an audition here to see how it goes for a few games?
Especially at the middle point of the season when you knew they were out of the playoffs, they had a losing record. You have this opportunity to do some things. We talked about it with Shane Waldron on the offensive side.
Yeah.
You could do the same thing on the defensive side, especially if you knew that was the direction that you were going and letting Ken Norton Jr. go.
Oh, absolutely. And I think to your point, Ken Norton Jr. was definitely going to land on his feet somewhere. I mean, he has a name and a reputation in the league that he's definitely going to have a job somewhere. There weren't going to be any problems for him moving forward. In terms of his professional career, he's going to be fine. So, I mean, if Pete was looking to protect him, I guess that seems a little foolhardy, but I mean, he's a loyal guy and all that. It's just, this is a pattern of behavior for Pete in the way that they have picked DCs. I mean, almost every guy has either been a promotion from within or a guy that they knew intimately and had worked under Pete and then brought him back.
Promoting from within is a great thing to do when you have success continually, because and that's really what you want to have. So, I have a hard time thinking that they got to the end of the season, decide to interview coordinators. And then after the interview, they're like, wow, who knew about this Clint Hurt guy during this interview? I mean, he's been on the team, but I had no idea that he was going to interview so well and that he was going to have the job. So you make that decision early. Rather than give him some interim time and then make the decision after the season. Or if, you know, you have an opportunity to get a guy like Fangio and it makes a ton of sense, who still doesn't have a job. And they're talking about him for the Dolphins defensive coordinator now.
Nope. Impossible. You can't get him. Him, Wink Martindale, Flores, can't do it. Can't be done. Those guys are out of our league. Just don't even try. It's pie in the sky. Like, don't, how dare you punch up and try to really go for the fences? Like, give me a break. Like, you can't do it, Brandon. You can't do it. So that's why we settled for a guy who has no experience being a defensive coordinator, who has all the exact same ideas as Pete. And like you said, it'd be fine if the trend was going in a very positive direction defensively, but it's been going in a more frustrating direction the last couple tenures of defensive coordinators. So I would have liked to see some actual change, which is what we were promised by Pete and his postseason pressers and all of that stuff. Instead, we got a big mouthful of more of the same, except for all of the weird other quasi DC dudes that might be around or are around or were around and then weren't. There's some weird crap going on with this defensive staff that is really hard to wrap your head around. Like, the idea that they were going to bring in Donatell for a hot second, and I thought he was signed. I thought it was even announced.
Well, it was just like when Ken Norton Jr. was announced for the 49ers. I think they gave him a little bit higher title or something to come to Seattle, and so he technically had an out, even if he did sign. Donatell wasn't going to be the defensive coordinator. He was going to be the secondary coach and maybe some kind of assistant, but now, yeah, he's with Minnesota. But then they bring in Sean Desai, who is
it's got to be said that way every time. It's just how it is in my head. Yeah, he's in a martial arts movie. Sean Desai.
So he's the associate head coach of the defense, which is
title. That's a title. Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's not an unusual setup at all. I'm sure this will go seamlessly.
You have the defensive coordinator, but the associate head coach who works for the defensive coordinator or with the defensive coordinator, but maybe is a title to get him to come in. So he's actually higher than just, I don't know. It's an interesting way to set things up. They're all going to be working together anyway, which is, from what I have heard, though, especially talking to EJ Snyder of Bootleg Football, like, he was high on Desai.
It's not going to get old.
I like the Messiah as a nickname.
I don't know, man. That could be either he's the Messiah or a pariah. I guess we'll find out.
It works for both.
Yeah.
He came up through the Bears, and EJ, a noted Bears fan.
Yeah.
And had 1 year as defensive coordinator.
Yeah. So let's talk about Sean Desai, because I think it's an interesting conversation.
Okay.
Because there's two Sean Desais in terms of his reputation. One is the one that people just talk about, people's opinion of Sean Desai, whether that's Bears fans or other people around the NFL or former players that played under him, things like that, right? And that's one picture. And then there's the picture of him as a defensive coordinator for reals. And unfortunately, those two things don't match up. So let's say the big thing that the larger media types have been saying in the Seattle market defending the Clint Hurt hiring as DC has been, oh, well, I mean, they're also bringing in Desai. I mean, he's, basically, he's the associate head coach, which then I guess is Clint Hurt's boss, but then he's working under Clint. That's going to go seamlessly. I don't understand how there's any problems there, but I mean, he's bringing together all these minds. It's going to balance out the lack of experience that Clint has as a DC. Like, all these different guys, and it's going to be like this committee of Ninja Turtles that come up with the best defense that's ever been figured out. That was a terrible analogy, but just go with it. You're just gonna have to deal with it. But point being, so Sean Desai, the defensive coordinator in his 1 year in Chicago, you're saying, well, we get rid of Ken Norton. I mean, Desai, his reputation, this has to be an upgrade. This has to be a massive upgrade. Well, let's take a peek at some of that. Our favorite statistic, right, Brandon? Points per game.
Right.
Whose defense performed better, Ken Norton Jr.'s or Sean Desai's?
With the way you're going with this, I'm going to guess it was Ken Norton Jr.'s.
Okay, cool. Hey, it's one stat. Let's take a look at some other stuff. Now, we say yards don't matter, but let's look at rushing yards, because I think rushing yards make a big difference. How many rushing yards you give up.
Yeah.
Which defense gave up fewer rushing yards, Sean Desai's or Ken Norton Jr.'s?
We know it was the Seahawks defense. Yep.
Sean Desai's Chicago Bears gave up more rushing yards. How about passing yards? Oh, Sean Desai's defense loses again. Go down the list of all the major statistics. Turnovers created.
Yeah.
Ken Norton Jr.'s defense.
What? See, they were terrible in turnovers created this year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The Bears were just as bad, if not worse, under Sean Desai.
They didn't have a very good secondary, though.
Oh, really? Like, that's the excuse?
Well, I think it's a part of it.
Because our secondary is full of world beaters at corner.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's why we were so low too. Being among the worst together, I guess, doesn't fill me with a ton of hope. But okay. So
there's one stat. Okay, there's one stat, and this is the one that maybe gives you hope, because the one thing that drove all of us, I think, the most crazy as Seahawks fans was time of possession.
Yeah.
Just them moving the chains over and over and over again. Advantage. Sean Desai's Bears. One stat out of all the major ones, definite upgrade. Now, contrast that with his public reputation. All the Bears fans, all of the, you know, guys in the NFL, the media types and all that, he's great. We love him. Great hire. You guys got one of the best. Got one of the good ones.
Yeah.
It just doesn't line up with the performance that we saw on the field last year.
As usual, it's not just the defense that plays into the defensive performance. The offense has something to do with that too. So
absolutely.
I think the way that the Chicago offense performed impacted the defense. So as someone who has not watched any Bears football apart from when they play the Seahawks, I don't think I can get too much into the why behind some of those statistics. I think it's important to know the statistics and that they were that low. But it doesn't seem like a reason to get excited necessarily. The guy that I'm least excited about, and you know, to your point, Corbin Smith at Corbin Smith NFL on Twitter, with Desai being named associate head coach and Carl Scott receiving passing game coordinator title, Pete Carroll adds two respected young coaches to the staff with secondary backgrounds. Home run hires once they are made official. They have been made official. So according to Corbin, they are home run hires. This Carl Scott hire, this is the one that I'm least excited about. And everybody points to his background. Oh, he was at Alabama. He coached up Diggs, you know, who's a stud now with the Cowboys.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I've never heard of Carl. So fill me in.
Well, okay. Carl was the passing game coordinator with the Vikings last year. Alabama before that, though. But yeah, so last year with the Vikings, third most yards on the outside with their corners.
Yeah. Their secondary hadn't been good for a couple of years. Yeah.
And also tying for third fewest plays on the ball. Only 18.
Is that because Patrick Peterson had lost 15 steps?
I guess. That's not good.
Exactly. I mean, the production doesn't match up with the reputations in a lot of ways. And I like Corbin Smith just fine. I think he's a fine dude in all of that. But boy, his coverage of these defensive coaching hires have been, I mean, did Pete mail him a pair of pom-poms or did he buy his own?
They're all great.
Oh my goodness.
And maybe they will be.
Oh, I'm hopeful.
It's not the type of moves that, it feels like a middle of the road type move in terms of how you would get excited. Like, you're hopeful. They're not the worst.
So as far as the Desai hire goes, that's actually more of a guy that I would have been interested in as a DC. And so I'm slightly more excited. Like, there's some things that just the idea that he came from Fangio system. He's a young dude, you know, hopefully some fresh ideas and, you know, is one of those kind of young hotshot coaches. Like, all right, I'll give that a go.
Right.
I'll give that a go. I just wish that either he had been DC or they'd gone after a big dog.
And if they have a relationship, because Clint Hurt came from Chicago, these guys work together in Chicago.
Yeah.
If Ken Norton Jr. was the kind of the stick in the cog that was the old school guy, like, we're not trying any of this new stuff. This is the way my idea is going to work. And you hear Clint Hurt saying that Pete's open to changing and doing new things. And so now that they have a relatively young group of guys on the defense, if it was just Ken Norton Jr. kind of old and in his ways that was keeping those ideas from bubbling to the top, then maybe this is the move that helps achieve those goals.
It's possible. We're about to find out. I just find it hilarious that most people are like, yeah, I mean, the dropping of linemen into coverage is the number one thing that needed to change in this defense. Like that right there. I mean, we can't be having that.
the thing is that Clint Hurt came out and talked about running more 3-4 defenses or mixing in the 3-4 principles. Mm-hmm. Well, when you mix in 3-4, you're dropping guys who would be on the line as outside linebackers into coverage.
Yeah, either that or you're substituting in a more traditional linebacker to be that fourth linebacker, right? Maybe paving the way for, say, somebody like KJ to come back. So you got, you know, KJ, Bobby Brooks, and what, Barton out there at the same time?
Maybe.
And then just roll with three, you know, D linemen. And if you don't have a lot of really twitchy, fast edge pass rushers, like maybe that's a winning formula, right? I don't know. I mean, it's just a theory. There's so many different ways it can go, but the idea that the dropping of Dunlap once every 15 plays into coverage was the Achilles heel of this defense is freaking laughable. How about all the soft zone coverage by linebackers? How about no big nickel? How about, playing Jamal Adams outside of the box so much more than they did the year prior? How about the corners playing 10 yards off most of the time? How about not playing inside leverage on any fucking slant ever? How about not being able to stop a screen? These are the things. These are the things. Not Dunlap dropping into coverage once in every 15 plays. And he said he's not going to do that anymore. All will be fine. Okay.
I think that comes up as a talking point a lot just because of how frustrated it seemed the players were about that sort of thing. Because you hear after the season guys talking about, oh, well, we got to stick to our jobs, you know, let the guys on the back end cover, let the guys up front rush the passer. That's just, mm-hmm. You're not going to get to a point next season where a guy drops back into coverage where, you know, Daryl Taylor drops into coverage. Like that's a skill that he has available to him. So yeah. It was something he did in college. He's a fast guy. If there's a guy who drops into coverage, I would rather see Daryl Taylor do it more than, an older guy like Dunlap, but how the offense is lined up, it can dictate what the defense ends up doing. So the point is, you're still going to see it happen. Now maybe it won't happen as much.
It's a tendency breaker at that point. Like that, I don't mind.
Yeah.
Look, you're going to drop a dude into coverage like that 15 times in a season, 10 times in a season. And if it were me and I was the defensive coordinator, I would do that against young quarterbacks in a critical situation, especially in the red zone. Just something that just looks different right out of the gate when the ball snapped and they've got to make a quick decision and the look is different than what they thought they were going to get against a veteran quarterback. It's not really going to phase them, but they could pick off Trey Lance at least four times with that this upcoming year.
Everett Crow emails in, says, I completely agree that Clint Hurt is a disappointing hire. With that said, I'm almost more annoyed with the media and their sick attempts to twist this info. In both of the first two articles I read about it, the writer tried to claim that these two hires made it obvious that Pete is trying to incorporate Fangio's scheme into the defense. If he is, why would we hire the outermost branches of his tree instead of Fangio himself? At this point in the show, Adam has probably already beat me to the punch, but I felt it was too infuriating to not bring up. Go Bengals,
Catfish!
The Lambs, and go Hawks.
Go Hawks, man. Yeah, 100% right, 0% wrong. That entire email was dead on. Now, does that mean I'm not going to talk myself into Clint Hurt by July? No, I'm definitely going to do it by July. I'll have myself talked into it. There's no doubt about it. But that was my gut feel.
Well, some other moves on defense. Let's see. There's John Glenn stays at linebackers. Aaron Curry, assistant defensive end, defensive line coach. Which is kind of interesting. He was on the staff, but I think it's a promotion in terms of him being a position assistant now rather than just a generic defensive assistant.
Interesting.
Damion Lewis, assistant defensive line, defensive tackles. Mm-hmm. I mentioned Carl Scott. Deshaun Shedd is the assistant defensive backs coach. Mm-hmm. And here's a new name. Will Tukuafu, the quality control coach for the defense.
Well, there you go. I mean, if Tukuafu
is back.
Yeah, he's back. So that's fun. You read those names and there's nobody there to hold Pete accountable, to challenge him with new things. I've heard these guys, the national media or even the beat writers and stuff like, well, Clint Hurt's not a yes man. He's definitely not a yes man. Well, okay. How? Why? How do you know that? Like you just throw it out there. That's a true fact. And you say, well, you're throwing out that he is a yes man. Like it's a true fact. I'm just saying it's more likely. Like, I mean, if you got promoted from within, if we're playing the what's more likely game, you're probably going to be pretty aligned with the head coach, and that's why he gave you the job. That's just how it works.
And when you're bringing in Donatell, someone that you've worked with before, and hiring with from within,
it was a failure twice as a DC. Like, hooray.
Donatell, yeah.
Like, none of these moved the needle. Like, but thank God we still got Tater. Still got Tater. He's gonna keep eating lines.
He is still the associate head coach. Mm-hmm. Larry Izzo still special teams coordinator. We got a little bit of movement on the offense. Dave Canales takes over as the quarterback coach.
So how many strokes do you think Dave's going to be able to shave off of his handicap this upcoming season?
He's just going to hit the golf course. He doesn't need to coach Russ at all.
He's going to have time. Like, I predict Dave Canales goes from a 14 to an 8.
Ooh, single digits.
Yeah, I think he can get there. I do. Because he understands mechanics, you know? And he's not going to have to apply any of that knowledge to Russ. So, yeah, the world's easiest job. Godly, I want to be Russell Wilson's quarterback coach.
Hey, Russ, keep it up. Good throw, buddy.
So, everything you did there, great. Maybe next time, just don't hold it quite as long.
Yeah, this would be the perfect job for Jason Garrett. Just clap after every throw.
Yeah, absolutely. The clapper would be 100% the best guy for this. Yeah. So congratulations to Dave. I wonder what country club he's a member of, but they're about to see a lot more, Dave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's got to be Bear Creek, I'm going to guess.
For sure, Bear Creek. Why wouldn't it be?
Andy Dickerson. So this was maybe a somewhat surprise move because, you know, offensive line coach, not an area that we really talked about as, they had such big problems on the offensive line. But Andy Dickerson moving up into the role, and he obviously came from the Rams with Shane Waldron. In terms of, it's not that surprising that he would be the guy to move into that role. Mm-hmm. Just not a move that was expected.
No, it wasn't expected, but I mean, our biggest gripe on the show has been both lines in the trenches. That's where we needed to get better. And when they moved on from Tom Cable to
Mike Solari.
Mike Solari, which I can never remember his name for the life of me. I don't know what it is. It's a me problem. I'm sorry, Mike. But
you never have to think about it again now.
No, I'll feel perpetually guilty. I could never remember his name. That's just one that should stick. It's a good name. It just wasn't there. But anyhow, he did make a difference with offensive linemen. They were better overall, especially in pass protection.
Hey, when you, instead of coaching guys to fall on the ground when the defensive linemen are rushing at the quarterback, just keeping them on their feet. I think that was the improvement that we saw from going from Cable to Solari.
Yeah, maybe Solari benefited from a low bar. Maybe that's a true fact there.
Hey, instead of falling down like Coach Cable taught you to, stay on your feet when you're blocking guys and, you know, ready break.
And exactly. So the narrative being here that Andy here is more in tune with Waldron in the zone running schemes and that sort of thing. If that's true, which I would think it is, then I'm excited about that. I think the zone scheme overall can be the most effective with just about anybody. I mean, good God, they almost made Cam Akers look like a real running back down there in LA.
Yeah. How about that?
With the zone running scheme. I just think about all those Denver teams that made Orlandis Gary and Peyton Hillis 1,000-yard rushers, right? And if they work a little more seamlessly, hand in glove, then I'm excited. This is a guy that it's hard to know anything about. It's a position that we all know we want them to play really well. We don't know exactly what to tell them to play really well. It's the hardest position to evaluate from a fan's perspective, at least in my opinion. So, hooray, Andy. Let's go.
Let's go, Andy.
Yeah.
Another move, Kerry Joseph. And if you are a longtime Seahawks fan, you remember his name because he started at safety for most of the 2000 season. Kerry Joseph, though, not coaching on the defensive side, is the assistant quarterbacks coach. So while Dave is out on the golf course lowering his handicap, Kerry Joseph going to be there coaching Russ.
Okay. Remember how I just said I wanted to be Russ's quarterback coach? Scratch that. I want to be Kerry Joseph. I want to be the assistant quarterback coach because that's holding a clipboard to the guy with the easiest job in the world. Yes, please. All day long. Kerry Joseph, he might have the time to, you know, cure cancer, or maybe solve the conflict in Europe. I think he's my number one guy to get it done.
There's game planning stuff to do. It's not just, it's not just coaching Russ.
Are we sure?
Oh man. Yeah. So did you know though, it was interesting to me that he played, he made the shift from quarterback in college. He was a quarterback for McNeese State University.
Wow. I haven't heard McNeese State in a long time.
I know. It's one of the, that's usually what, when the, when
isn't the that where Steve McNair came out of McNeese? Isn't that right?
Did he? I only recognize McNeese State because I think that if there's ever Big Sky Conference playoffs, that McNeese State is sometimes one of those teams.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Let's see. Notable NFLers from McNeese State. BJ Sams, of course. Deontay Spencer. Such notable names.
So I'm guessing it wasn't Steve McNair that came from there, because he would be number one on that list.
He would be number one on that list, and I do not see him on that list.
Okay.
So there you go. That's those are the most recent guys to come out of McNeese State.
Amazing.
Oh, and Luke Lawton.
Okay.
Not a football powerhouse.
Yeah. Well,
but he made the switch. He made the switch from quarterback there to NFL starter at safety.
That's good for his deal. I'm sure him and Russ will have three great conversations throughout the season.
Yeah.
Probably about wine pairings with different foods. I doubt it will have anything to do with football.
Yeah, they don't talk about anything there.
No.
Greg in Waldwick, New Jersey writes in, says, or is it Greg Waldrick in New Jersey? I don't know.
We're just going with Greg.
It's Greg in New Jersey. Yeah.
Jersey Greg.
Gentlemen, for the sweet love of God, please address these soft-headed idiots in what passes for press talking about a quote-unquote blockbuster three-way trade for Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Adam, have a few beers and get on a furious rant. I really enjoyed Drunken Adam for the Super Bowl reaction show. I know it's early in the offseason and they are desperate for something to talk about, but come on. They need to do better. Love the show and
catfish!
The catfish! Lambs, whiners, and Cardinals. And he says that the Cardinals don't deserve a derogatory nickname because they're so weak. And I would caution you against this, Greg. Dave Bloomquist, Hong Kong Hawk, he figured this out. You never want to use your rival team names in any posts on social media because then you get targeted for merch for those teams. And so even if they don't deserve a derogatory nickname, you must come up with one just to avoid the spamming of ads.
Hey, it might keep all of those ridiculous articles out of your newsfeed too. Like Jersey Greg, I feel your pain. And yes,
catfish,
all those other teams. I hate them so much. I can't stand these writers. Now, this might not be a Drunk Adam rant, but I'm highly caffeinated. I'm on my second French press of coffee and
catfish.
Damn it, this is so stupid. I just put out that one little video from the road about NFC East fans and their delusions of grandeur trading for Russ. Hey, I've got a pile of beans and $3. Would you like to trade that for Russell Wilson, sir? Like, it's so stupid. And then the only way that any of that might work would be for a three-team swap. So there's at least a tiny bit of sense in there. Unfortunately, what quarterback that is potentially available are you interested in over top of Russell Wilson, or at least equal to? Like, think about that.
There's no name that you could come up with that would get me excited and go, oh yeah, that's an upgrade, because we've talked about this before. Now that Aaron Rodgers, if he even stays with the Packers, maybe he goes to the AFC. If that happens, Russ is the top dog in the NFC. There is no other guy that you could point to and say, oh yeah, he's better than Russ at the quarterback spot.
Absolutely. The only guy that I could think of on a talent level, that would even move the needle for me, unfortunately, he seems to be a gigantic douchebag, would be Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Like, he could come
to the NFC.
If he's in the league at all, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I mean, because once is a coincidence, twice is a trend, 22 times is beyond a you problem. So I have a hard time believing there's a lot of innocence there. But hey, who knows? We'll let the court system play out. But long story short, there's nobody that you would want. And I mean, just the idea that Giants fans are like, oh, well, we got 5-7 and a future pick that will be dog
catfish
because we now have Russ and we'll have a decent record. And we'll throw in Daniel Jones. I mean, because he's amazing.
He's the future. Oh yeah. All the Giants fans talk about how they can't wait to see Daniel Jones play next year if they just get some more pieces around him and how great he could be. Then you got Mike Renner of PFF.com. He's got his new mock draft out. We're in mock draft season. And what do we see? We see the Seattle Seahawks with picks number 16 and 15 in his mock draft.
Oh, a Washington trade, huh?
No. Philadelphia trade.
Oh, Washington had 11. Yeah, that's right.
This trade has the Seahawks flipping veteran quarterback Russell Wilson to the Philadelphia Eagles for multiple first rounders. Two first rounders this year. Mm-hmm. Can't you just say two? Multiple? Multiple suggests to me that two is more than one, so you can say multiple. I don't know. It doesn't. I think
technically multiple can be two, but I think if we were to amend the definition, that's
the worst
all of
multiple
ears,
of,
it's
three of all or the more. Multiples.
Yeah, it's the least amount of multiples. Like, I don't know. Maybe there's future picks involved too in this fantasy land idea. And then, then we throw in Jalen Hurts. I mean, he's a young quarterback. I love how everybody catfish on Jalen Hurts from the Philly fan base. Uh-huh. And then when it comes time to trade him for our all-time elite number one guy, franchise guy, Russell Wilson. Oh, you can have Hurts.
Well, we do get Hurts in this deal, but we also get another quarterback via the number 15 pick, Adam.
No, you don't.
No, in this mock draft, we do.
No, you don't, because there's no real quarterbacks in this draft.
It's been mocked. And I think you would be right to say there's no real quarterbacks. If a quarterback is coming in the first round off, let's see, is this even the first one? No, it's not the first one. It is. So at 15 is the third quarterback in a draft with almost no good quarterbacks that are being talked about.
Yeah.
So you got Malik Willis of Liberty. Oh, the noted quarterback powerhouse of Liberty.
I've watched some Malik Willis. Okay. That's interesting. Sure.
You've got Kenny Pickett.
I watched some Kenny Pickett. Big time. No, thanks. Gigantic. No, thanks.
He increased his completion percentage by 5 points from 2020 to 2021, 73% to 78%.
Sure. Yeah. He can hit a check down like nobody's business. And then when the game is on the line and the announcers are going crazy, well, now's the time for Pickett to bring this team back. It's all on his shoulders. He's a number one pick, blah, 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 blah. He starts airmailing crap all over the freaking field. No, thank you. This guy's anti-clutch as hell.
Okay, so it sounds like you've watched some quarterbacks.
At least three or four.
Who do you think's number three?
Who cares?
The listeners want to know who is coming to the Seahawks in this mock draft at number 15.
That's right. I thought I was still mocking the mock draft. Sorry. No, I have no idea who they would throw in at number three. They're all terrible. Like, I don't know.
Jalen Hurts going to be competing against Ole Miss quarterback Matt Corral.
Right.
Have you seen Matt Corral?
I didn't even know Matt Corral was a person. I didn't know that.
If you could find someone more slight than, even Jalen Hurts is somewhat slight at quarterback.
Sure.
But even more slight than Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
That's Matt Corral.
Perfect. That'll hold up great in the league. Look, here's the funny part is if those were my options, Matt Corral or Jalen Hurts, and I was trying to swap a trade with the Eagles, like for some stupid reason, I'd be more interested in Minshew than either of those guys.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's where those guys fall for me. Like, you know, Minshew's at least fun at times.
Okay. Yeah. The most fun of the backup quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the best backup quarterback in the league, possibly.
Sure.
Which, you know, could make him a starter for the bottom five teams, right? Because they're all backup quarterbacks too.
Right.
So, yeah. But the other thing that people don't talk about with this trading Russ thing is Russ has come out how many times and says, I want to win. I want to win. I want to win Super Bowls. That's what had me seething in the stands with Roger Goodell. Like the Giants, they look at, well, we'll trade for Russ. Why would he want to go there? Has that been a winning culture since Tom Coughlin left? Absolutely not. Like I said on that little video, they've gone through 15 head coaches in the last 10 minutes. I mean, they change head coaches faster than I change underwear. It's ridiculous. Like, that's not a winning culture. Then you look at the Commanders. I'm still getting used to that.
Yeah.
Commanders. Sure, I like Ron Rivera, fine. But when's the last time they've been better than a game over 500? Like, it just hasn't happened in like 10 years. And you're going to go work under pervert Schneider? I don't think so. Like, Dan Snyder, he's a terrible human being. Why would you want to work for him? There's no way Russ goes there.
No.
And then the Eagles, okay, cool. You lucked into the one Super Bowl when Mercury was in retrograde and Nick Foles beat Tom Brady in a Super Bowl somehow. Like, the most anomaly of all the anomaly years. You're not a winning culture either. Like, I don't understand. The only one that I could look at and be like, there's an opportunity to win that's at least as equal to the Seahawks would be the Bucks, but the Bucks have nothing to trade.
Right.
So what's going to happen here?
I don't understand the excitement around Bucks Nation this past week. They've been all into this idea of acquiring Russ and that it's just going to happen.
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
I haven't heard a good answer as to how that happens.
Do all these fan bases out East, do they all think that like John Schneider fell and hit his head in the last 6 months?
I had Anthony hit me up, who I hadn't heard from since talking to him.
Oh my God, what did he have to say?
Yeah. He's like, hey, so what do the Bucks have to do to get Russell Wilson? I'm like, it's not happening. Like, you're just going to have to settle for it not happening. He's like, but I want to win a Super Bowl. I'm like, well, I want to win a Super Bowl too.
Yeah. Turns out. Yeah.
And you just had one. So come on.
Like, yeah.
How many more do you need to buy?
Yeah, exactly. No, you get whatever. Like, you guys keep, you know, wilting down there in the southern heat. No, I just don't get it. People seem to like, it's this idea that the Seahawks are just here for all of the East Coast teams' developmental team. Like, they're just here to help them all out of the kindness of their hearts, and because they don't have any real aspirations to win a championship themselves. It's so weird.
You know, there's one team out East who we haven't talked about yet, and Tim Hasselbeck, I think he knows where Russ is going.
Who's going to be the Steelers starter week one?
Well, I don't believe it's somebody that's on their roster right now. And so, you know, Jeremy talked about whether it was a draft, free agency, potentially a trade, and the exhaustive nature of trying to improve that position. So that being said, like, I'm putting a name out there, and I'm going to say Russell Wilson. Look, I think that Russell Wilson does not want to be in Seattle. And I think that Seattle, quite honestly, would be fine moving on as long as they felt comfortable with what their replacement would be in Seattle. And so if Russell Wilson is looking to play on a team that can be a contending team, if he's looking to play in a market that will give him more exposure than his current market in Seattle is giving him, then I think Pittsburgh checks those boxes. I get that it's not New York City, maybe not a market that he was maybe eyeing, but I do think that would be a good fit team-wise, player-wise, and also market-wise.
Yeah, Russell Wilson would be terrific on the Steelers.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be terrific on the Steelers. Yeah.
I love how Hasselbeck plants his own bomb in the middle of his entire sell job there. He's like, yeah, I think the Seahawks would be willing to move on if they were comfortable with who they got as a replacement. And then just glosses over the idea that they need an adequate replacement. Who
is that guy? What, Mason Dobbs? Rudolph?
They're gonna know. I mean, come on. What, Duck Hodges? Come on.
Yeah.
And there's no quarterbacks in this draft. I'm sorry. There just isn't. I understand all of y'all wish there were all these East Coast teams with a high draft pick so that they could trade a draft pick. Like, if there was a Justin Fields or Zach Wilson or a quarterback of that caliber or potential in this draft at, you know, three, and somebody offered us three, you know, another first rounder this year, two more first rounders in the future, or one more in the future and a second, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Like,
yeah. If you're telling me that you could get a young quarterback and a left tackle of the future, like through two picks in the first round.
Right.
Then, okay, maybe you make that move.
I would consider that. I'm not saying I'd pull the trigger, but that would at least get me there.
You would at least, you would have to feel very strongly about how you feel about those particular players, because right. that is a, that's a huge swing. And huge swing. If you whiff, you're, yeah. you're not going to be working in your current job much longer.
Exactly. So, that trade just doesn't exist this year because of the nature of the draft. It just doesn't exist. And then you're like, well, we'll give you future first rounders. Well, whoop-de-doo, now you've got Russ. Like, now I'm still picking at 22.
While you're in the playoffs, we're getting your playoff draft pick in the first round.
Right. Hooray for us.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. The only thing, and nobody who has a young quarterback that you know is going to be good, even Justin yeah. Fields, who is unproven, the Bears aren't getting rid of Justin Fields now because they have a guy who they can be relatively certain on, a new coaching staff. And they're going to want to build around him and try and be one of these teams like the Bengals who have a young quarterback that you can now build around. And mm-hmm. you have a relatively team friendly salary for a few years now.
So I thought about that, too. I was like, OK, like, is there anybody that does have a quarterback that you could trade potentially that I would actually be interested in? And Justin Fields would be one of them with another first and maybe a third or something. I don't know.
It's not happening.
But if I'm a Bears fan, if I play the same game that I'm accusing everybody else of not playing, if I'm a Bears fan, do I want to, you know, swap out Justin Fields for 33-year-old Russ and sell a bit of my future? Like, if it was just across the board, I'd probably do it. But also, you know, selling out future draft picks and that sort of thing, along with Justin Fields to get older at the position when I'm in a little bit of a rebuild? No, I wouldn't want to do that.
No, I posed that question to EJ, a Bears fan, said, hey, mm-hmm. Justin Fields, first round pick, you get Russ. Are you doing it? Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Not now. A year ago, before we, well, he was pretty high on Fields anyway, coming out of the draft. He just didn't think it would even happen that he would fall to the Bears.
Right. Yeah.
And he's like, now that it's happened, hey, that's no chance.
No, I get it. That's where my head would be if I ran the Chicago organization for sure. I don't know.
Now, if I were the 49ers, and obviously this is a hypothetical trade that would never happen, but if I'm the 49ers and I'm actually considering Jimmy G coming back next season because I'm that uncertain about Trey Lance going into next year, then, yeah, if I were a team in that position and I could make a change for a veteran quarterback like Russ, and except that you don't have any first-round picks to give up because you traded them all for Trey Lance...
Right.
If somehow you were to get, I don't know, a couple firsts for Debo and then all of a sudden be able to have the ammunition to trade for Russ, then yeah, okay. Then maybe you do that because you're that unsure about your young quarterback.
Right.
But then the team's not going to take that deal because why would you give up on your young quarterback?
Yeah. Why would you give up on your young quarterback? And then if you're the Seahawks, what out of Trey Lance have you seen that made you feel like that would be a worthy trade? I mean, and again, this kind of comes down to some of my draft opinions about these guys. Like, I liked Fields coming out. I thought he was him and Zach Wilson, you know, take your pick. Same sort of talent. Trey Lance, a distant fourth to those guys. But yeah, I just don't think that there would be a situation where the Seahawks would be interested in a guy like Trey Lance. I think it's pretty funny that the Niners, I mean, they obviously have some respect for Jimmy and are trying to do him a solid, because that's the only reason those stories are out there of, well, we, you know, we,
well, they still want to trade. They actually want to trade him. So you're not going to talk a guy. Oh, well, yeah, we'll just keep him then if nobody's going to trade for him. Yeah.
Yeah. You're just trying to, you know, up his trade value, make maybe a better team think that they're just a Jimmy Garoppolo away from losing another Super Bowl. But, it's interesting. They're going to go with Trey Lance this year. They have to. It's a disaster. I'd say I feel bad for 49ers fans, but that would imply that I have any sort of feelings for them.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we should be considering these other quarterbacks like Jalen Hurts or, you know, young quarterback that somebody just wants to give away. Maybe we should consider Jimmy G because, man, when I hear Ryan Clark talk, Russell Wilson, he's not even all that great.
Russell Wilson is a very good football player. Russell Wilson is a really good quarterback. Russell Wilson's not a great quarterback. Russell Wilson is not an all-time great quarterback. He's never going to be in those conversations. And so we have to stop putting him in those in that world, in that world that any team that has Russell Wilson can win a Super Bowl. This is kind of like Big Ben's trajectory, but I think Big Ben was a better football player, where Big Ben wins too when the defense is great and when they have a run game, and when you limit turnovers, and then when he gets the killer bees, this offense is high flying. He's one of the best players in the football game, and you don't win a championship. And so Richard Sherman is kind of just pointing to philosophy, not necessarily what Russell Wilson is as a quarterback. He's pointing to the way that they've won. But we have to stop including Russell Wilson in these talks that if Russell Wilson goes here, does this team win a Super Bowl? If Russell Wilson goes here, does this team win a Super Bowl? This isn't basketball. And frankly, Russell Wilson actually isn't that great. He isn't that much of a factor that changes who football teams are. And so now it's thinking to ourselves, is he an upgrade over the quarterback we have? And can he make us a better team? And that's not every team in the NFL.
Is he even an upgrade over Jalen Hurts? I mean, come on.
I don't know. You'd have to really consider that and, you know, decide what the value is there. I mean, let's do the quick reverse list. Like, which team doesn't get better if Russ is their quarterback? Which teams? You could argue the Packers.
With Rodgers, yeah.
Okay.
But not if Jordan Love's the quarterback, obviously.
Oh, I'm assuming it's Rodgers.
Are we just sticking to the NFC?
No. Any team. Mahomes?
Yeah.
Allen?
Chiefs, Bills, Bengals, you probably don't make that move.
I don't know that they get worse with Russ, but they might get a little better with Russ. Burrow, it might be the Burrow line. That might be where Burrow the cutoff might be the line. Is.
Yeah.
And Burrow's damn good. So what? We came up with four teams there? Four that wouldn't be interested if John Schneider called? Come on, right, man.
Just a one-for-one swap type move?
You're telling me that the Rams aren't better with Russell Wilson over Stafford, who tried to give away the NFL's little run here in the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. Almost every playoff game, he nearly gave away.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he did his damnedest. Look, maybe Russ, said something mean to Ryan Clark, or maybe he pissed in his Cheerios. I don't know. But his evaluation is crazy. Now, wait, an all-time great when he says an all-time great.
Yeah, well, see, I need to know where his line is on that. Is what I keyed in on first when I saw that this was even out there on Twitter. And it's like, well,
sure.
If Ryan Clark doesn't think Russ is an all-time great, okay. Like, it just depends on where your line is for all-time great.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know. Is he in the Marino Elway category at this point in his career? I would say yeah. Are they all-time greats?
He's getting close. You know who was asked about it? Was asked about Ryan Clark's comments was Quandre Diggs, who was on Behind the Baller podcast with Ben Baller. And you might not even know who Ben Baller is, but big Seahawks fan, does like a lot of jewelry stuff for athletes. And so he's tied in with a lot of professional athletes.
I see.
And so he had.
What a fortuitous name to be a jeweler.
Ben Baller.
Hey, man, you want the best rocks? You go to the Baller, Ben Baller.
Yeah, well, Quandre was asked about the thoughts of Ryan Clark on Ben Baller's podcast.
You know, I love RC. You know what I mean? I love RC as a person. I love him as an analyst. But I think that's just totally BS. Come on, bro. This dude is like the second most winningest quarterback in his first 10 years. All the stuff that he's in, all these records and stuff in the first 10 years, he's top three or top five in every single one, bro. Like,
bro, over Peyton Manning. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Right.
It's the all-time greats. And you trying to tell me that this guy's not an all-time great quarterback? Like, come on, bro. Right.
Why you say that?
Catfish!
I don't understand it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand it because of the fact that, like, he don't bother nobody. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, that's for sure.
You know,
yeah.
He stays himself. He works his ass off. He leads his team. You know what I mean? He's a great family man. All he does is go out there and win football games. This is the first year in his career where they haven't had a winning record.
Right.
The first year, bro. And you mean to tell me that he's not an all-time great when his numbers stack up? You know what I mean? Like, with the numbers thing, that's what pissed me off sometimes is like, people be like, numbers aren't everything. But, like, what are you grading then if numbers ain't everything? Like, because my coaches grade me after the game. And if I get a 50, I didn't fail.
See, give pay Quandre Diggs his money.
Yeah, write that contract right now. Put it right in front of him.
And hopefully he does get his contract. We're just now getting into the period where the teams can franchise tag players. And so I think the only candidate on the Seahawks would be Quandre Diggs. But I think they're going to pay him.
Oh, I think they're going to pay him. You know, the other thing, I mean, you talked about contracts that nobody talks about with this Russ trade talk is the cap hit that the Seahawks would suffer that first year from trading Russ. It'd be a huge cap hit.
I think 27 million cap hit.
Yeah. Like, where's the motivation there? I don't know.
You're going to cripple your team in terms of spending ability. Although we're going to get into this later. Maybe it isn't as crippling as we may have thought in the past.
Oh, as far as cap hits?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it just depends. Just depends if the league office is on your side or not.
That has a little bit of something to do with it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was more. I wanted to get into more with Quandre. Maybe I'll push that back to next week. I had some stuff with KJ on a podcast. Maybe we'll hold that for next week. So there is one other piece of news, though. Mm-hmm. We found out that there's going to be a new Ring of Honor member next season.
Oh, OK.
Yeah. Team president Chuck Arnold was on Softy Mahler's show this past week and said that they're going to have a new Ring of Honor member. Who do we think it is?
Cool. I don't know. Probably Marshawn.
Ooh, you think they already go Marshawn?
I don't know. You asked me to guess. Okay, I gave you a guess.
Well, yeah. He wasn't in my top five because he's so recent. The guy.
Yeah. Oh, I 100% understand that. Yeah. Yeah.
If I had to handicap him.
Yeah.
Steve Rabel would be my number one.
Ooh, yeah. Solid. Okay. Yep.
Sean Alexander would be number two.
That's a pick. Yeah.
And then the next three like sleeper candidates would be Joe Nash, Max Strong, Marcus Trufant.
Well, Joe Nash, Max Strong, and True were all really, really good players for the Seahawks. And like, especially Max Strong is, you know, like that's one of the dudes that I loved watching play. Right.
Yeah. Well, Mac and Nash, I think they were the two longest tenured Seahawks of all time.
And that might be true. They don't feel like Ring of Honor players to me.
Okay.
Like, they just don't.
That's fine. And True played essentially his whole career in Seattle, too. And had a long career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, don't get me wrong. Love all those guys. Big fans. Think they were amazing players. I just don't know if they were, you know, one of the guys that you retire a number of.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my first two picks that you're on board with, though. And Marshawn, obviously. Marshawn's going to get in. Marshawn has to get in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, look, I mean, Alexander will at some point because he was an MVP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It should happen. We should recognize Sean.
Sure.
Don't need to get into the whole running back offensive line argument.
I didn't say a damn thing. I know. I didn't say a damn thing.
I can tell you're thinking it, though.
Is there anything else to think?
Let's get to the second half of the show.
All right.
Starting out the second half of the show with a trigger warning. I think we're going to get into some Seahawks related topics that are going to be uncomfortable for people.
Okay.
And may bring up some bad old memories, especially this question that I'm about to pose to you, Adam.
Oh, this is this took a turn for the serious. I did not see coming for the second half of the show. I was having a good day and a good mood.
I know.
All right. What do you got
in terms of 5-second clips that you would prefer to watch one over another?
Okay.
The play that shall not be talked about. Malcolm Butler made a great play.
That's already too many words, but okay.
Or Sean McVay holding up Super Bowl trophy. Like, which one of those short videos like hits you harder as a reaction, like in your gut?
The play that should not be talked about. Because I'm still not recognizing whatever that other thing was that you talked about.
That didn't even happen. So it can't bother you.
It can't bother me. For reals, it's the play that should not be talked about because that cost us directly a championship. And, you know, as much as I sports hate the idea that the Rams might someday win a Super Bowl because it didn't happen.
You're not even in the acceptance phase, whereas I feel like you're in the acceptance phase on the other thing. This is why it's so tough for me. Like, I'm having a hard time. I know it just happened. And then that we're still reacting to that.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm almost enough distance past that that it doesn't hurt as bad.
Oh, so one of the things, the steps of loss, what is it? It's like 12 steps, seven steps, whatever it is. Seven stages.
Yeah, I think seven whatever stages of grief.
Seven stages of grief. There it is. I knew if I said enough words, you'd pull them out of the sky for me. So seven stages of grief. I always thought that those were like a linear progression to better.
Oh, and there's only five. It's not.
Well, I might need 12 or 25. I don't know, because I keep going back and forth. Like I feel like I've advanced and then I backslide and I'm all over the map. It's not a linear progression here. I got a scribble play going on,
yeah,
going through the seven stages of grief, the 17 stages.
Do you know what the five 46. Stages are?
Catfish, the Rams,
catfish,
the Rams,
catfish,
the Rams,
catfish,
the Rams.
and then bargaining. So have someone else.
Yeah. 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 Could it just be just let it be the Bengals.
Yeah. Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. So maybe, sure, maybe by the next show, you'll have moved on to where you're really angry about the Rams winning the Super Bowl.
No, I was already there. I was already there. Then I circled back somehow. I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know what you're accusing me of denying. Like, that's the thing.
Right. Well, you know, it's probably best that you circle past, then that way you avoid the depression stage that is finally before the acceptance stage.
Oh, there's been multiple beers consumed over something that I'm not sure that really happened.
I wanted to throw it out there because I think there's a lot of us that are in the same boat. So we need to talk through these kind of things.
Sure. Hey, look, in whatever your personal feelings are, all of you little flockers out there, they're the right ones. You're doing okay.
David in Jersey comes in, says, Nostra Adamus for the win. Thank goodness the Rams got seven chances from inside the 8-yard line. Yeah. Otherwise, LA football might have failed. I guess we can console ourselves with the knowledge that they'll be the Albuquerque Rams in 5 years. Go Hawks.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed that very much. That was a great, great email. Look, the thing is that it's not just that end of the game that was so frustrating. I mean, I get the Bengals got the one big call
to start the second half. Yeah, the no call on Ramsey's face mask.
Exactly. But the real problem is the fact that their offensive line held the entire season, almost every play. They hold on almost every play, and they never get called. They never get called. JT O'Sullivan did a nice breakdown of that last little sequence.
Yeah,
towards the end of the game. And the Rams false started like almost every snap when he went back and played it from the all 22 and like zoomed in on the offensive line.
Yeah.
Everybody's out of their stance, like a full step before the center snaps the ball on like three of those plays. Like they get away with bloody
catfishing
murder. And it drives me so crazy.
Yeah. The one holding call that they actually got called on was the Cooper Kupp touchdown where there was the other, what did he get called for? Hitting him too early or?
I don't remember. It doesn't matter because it didn't happen.
I do wonder though, how different, because Super Bowl winners do, they define NFL narratives to an extent.
Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, being now everybody's talking about, oh, well, you know, you got to be aggressive with using your draft pick for stars because or go out and trade for that star quarterback that's going to make a difference rather than having mm-hmm. Jared Goff. Mm-hmm. I do wonder how that would be different, though, in the alternate reality where the Bengals win, which is mm-hmm. the reality that I want to live in. Mm-hmm. What do we think that the narratives are then coming out of this game?
Well, what I'm just curious is if the narrative is, well, you got to go out and make that big trade so you have Stafford over Goff and that makes it so that you win a Super Bowl. My real question would be, what do you have to trade? What do you have to give up as an organization to get the league office back and have them in your back pocket? Like, what does it take to go out and just get Goodell?
Money.
Like, what does that take?
Money.
How many billions?
Whatever, how many billions that the Rams owner has.
Well, or what they're potentially going to bring in over the next 3-4 years from their 15 fans.
I don't think another team can deliver that.
They surely don't think so.
Unless it's Jacksonville to London or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just, because that's the trade that you, if you really want to, you know, lock in some better odds to win the Super Bowl, you trade for Goodell. It's what you do.
Can we make that happen?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm like Anthony. What do we got to do? I want another chip.
Quick question. In terms of media market size, Southeast Alaska, like where do we rank?
I feel like we should rank ahead of Cincinnati, and they were in the Super Bowl.
Maybe.
And they were leading.
And then they won, which is great. I can't believe Joey Franchise got his first ring.
Great. The next Joe Montana.
Sure. Yeah. If he didn't walk into the huddle on that last drive and go, hey, look, there's John Candy, I'm going to be mad at him.
Or the ghost of John Candy. Yeah. R.I.P. Mm-hmm. John.
There you go.
There could be so many different narratives. Like with the idea of the offensive line doesn't really matter. Because the entire second half, the Bengals offensive line got destroyed. And if they just make one more play and get the win, which definitely happened, then you say that going up against a crazy defensive line.
Oh, yeah. It's a copycat league, right? And you see this in all the different sports. Like a team goes about winning a chip one way. I mean, then all of a sudden everybody's like, well, that's the future of the sport. That's the way you got to do it. There's only one way to go about this. And it's just not the case because there's lots of ways to win a championship. Now, what's the most effective way for your era? That can be debated. I just have a hard time taking any sort of narrative from this season and calling it a real football narrative in terms of like actual football strategy and team building that brings you a title as opposed to outside factors. This season is so tainted to me. Like, this is the first time as a sports fan that I have legitimately felt like this is not a legit title.
So you would have trouble taking any kind of narrative. Then that's why I threw it out as the Bengals, because, you know, they drafted a playmaker early rather than going offensive line, which was kind of against the conventional wisdom of NFL circles, right? And, you know, they've gone the youth movement route in terms of their coaching and their team. And
yeah, I think, you know, in terms of the Bengals, if you want to look at narratives and the Jamar Chase draft choice and all that, again, there's more than one ways to skin a cat here, right? So they go out and they draft Chase, which accelerated their timeline getting to a Super Bowl. There's no doubt about that. That can't be argued, right? And he's a big time catalyst for that. However, if you're looking at sustained success over the next 5-6 years, would you rather have that left tackle and not made it to the Super Bowl this year? Because I think I would. Because Joey B's time is very short in this league.
If he can't be protected.
It had a short-term benefit that I think is awesome, and I'm excited for him. But I think overall, when we look back at this 20 years from now, we're going to see it quite a bit differently.
I mean, unless they go out in free agency, which they're not really known for doing, and get Armstead from the Saints, right?
Yeah. Is a Brown still ahead, or the owner of the Cincinnati Bengals is one of the Browns? Yeah. They have got the tightest pocketbook in all of the NFL. Like, they're not going to sign anybody worth a big contract. Yeah.
That would be the move to go for, though. If this would be that window to where you would want to spend.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Yep.
I feel like we haven't talked about enough about free agency for our own team in the show.
Oh, we got a whole offseason of nonsense.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what we should do? We should announce our pick 'em winners.
Yeah. For the season that didn't happen. That's awesome. These guys are truly clairvoyants.
We threw the names in a hat. This is what came out.
Sure.
Pick 'em winners. We have a tie.
Which order are you going to go in?
We're going to go in reverse order up to number one.
That seems like a smart move.
I know.
A lot more dramatic.
I planned this out. I'm totally prepared. Mm-hmm. And this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
So we got a two-way tie with 183 points, both tied for fourth. I don't know. We're going to have to flip a coin or something to figure out prizes, although I suppose maybe it's with the order. I don't know.
You know what we have to do in situations like this. In every time for life, it's got to be this solution. It's an Anchorman style fight to the death.
Right. So those competing in an Anchorman style fight to the death John Lemparski and Chell Seahawks.
Okay. I'm going to need both of you guys to write in, tell me where you would try to ambush your opponent and what weapon you'd use in your Anchorman style fight. And that's how we'll decide.
That's
the better answer. Yeah, the better answer is
better
what.
Answer wins.
Yeah.
All right.
I like that better than a coin flip.
I do. I like that too. Okay. At number three, we have a former champion, but not with the win, but still coming in third place, Gary Blum. Peaceful, easily feeling.
You know, Gary's been at the top of the list almost every single year.
I know. It's kind of gross.
Look, man, I'm just saying, like with all these new sports books and stuff, I think Gary should quit his job.
Probably.
And start making picks.
You know what? I would subscribe to Gary's newsletter on that.
There you go. Look, I hope his wife doesn't hear me give him that advice. But yeah.
At number two, and did not pick the Super Bowl winner, which was, I feel like, the correct pick, but
yeah.
It still lands Brian in second place. I Need Flowers to Wags My Dixon at finishes at number two.
Had to go with Bengals with that username, right? With the flowers in there.
Oh, yeah.
That's one thing I don't understand. I'd seen some comments, people like, well, at least Trey Flowers didn't win a ring.
Why?
Like, why am I mad at Trey Flowers? Like, for, you know, going on to another team. Like, I don't wish him ill.
I think I could have lived just fine with Trey Flowers having a ring.
You know how many times I would have thought about Trey Flowers having a ring? One half of a time.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. He got a ring.
Oh, good for Trey.
Yeah. And then.
Yeah.
And then a little bit later, you go, hey, does Trey Flowers have a ring? Oh, yeah. I guess he was on that Bengals team.
Trey who?
At number one, 186 points in the 2021 NFL season. That did not happen. The top prize, a full-size replica Seahawks helmet signed by both Kenny Easley and Steve Largent or our punter Michael Dixon. Plus, you get a really nice knife from Buck Knives donated by Daniel Weinholz. Unlimited Hawkra. Jeff, congrats on the win.
Well, that's an amazing team name. And I think the Unlimited Hawker from the Unlimited Hawker name got him to the top this year. I think Jeff won it in the preseason.
Probably.
Yeah.
The team
by
name.
Choosing that team name. Yeah. Just shows you if you get a little creative.
And obviously in fifth place, see, we should give John Lemparski fifth just for not even changing his team name.
No, I'm still going with the Anchorman stuff.
Email in your weapon of choice. And the location you're fighting.
Right? Yeah. I guess I said ambush because that's the way that I would go.
Oh, right.
I'd go with an ambush against the other because, you know, the element of surprise and all that. Right. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're a more honorable fighter than I am. Maybe you just go toe to toe and like you would, you know, call them out like Karate Kid style and be like, we're fighting here at 8 o'clock.
Flagpole 8 o'clock.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I'm a cheap shot artist. So that's why I thought ambush.
Ambush. And running down the weekly winners for the season, we got Tunbridge Hawk from week one, Adam's Family week two, Liam Carey Eves week three, Straight Pink four picker week four. Week five was Cars on Fire. Nice little play on Carson.
Yes.
Week six, Jesper Sacco. Week seven, Largent at Arms. Week eight, Gino's coin flip picks. Week nine, Show Me the Monet. Week 10, Spanking the Kitty. Which came from this. I think that came out of this season.
It surely did. Yeah. And it will never, ever, ever die.
Week 11, Bayou Hawk. We got Chelsea Hawks with a week 12 win. Pancakes over Waffles. Week 13, going to forfeit the win because of the terrible team name.
Yep. They just don't know any better.
Week 14, I Need Flowers to Wags My Dixon. Week 15, Rock Out With Your Hawks Out. And that's plural. I think there's a Rock Out With Your Hawk Out, and there's Rock Out With Your Hawks Out. And so don't get excited and like verify that's your team name before you get excited about this week 15 prize. Week 16, Van Isle Hawk Fan. Week 17, Rashad Penny's Right Leg. And week 18, Dropkick Aussies.
Bunch of champions.
They're the champ. So I have my list now of people to go through with prizes.
Yeah.
And determine prizes, get those shipped out.
Well, and this is kind of a fun time of year, I would imagine, for the little flockers, because basically Brandon Claus here gets to like actually send out all of your guys' gifts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, while well earned, we're happy to give them away. It's probably, I think in the off season, Brandon, I'm going to guess that planning the prizes and finding them and, you know, trying to find good ones.
Yeah.
That seems to me to be something that fills up your cup a lot. I think you really enjoy that process. And so I really hope you guys enjoy these prizes because Brandon puts a lot of time and effort into picking them out.
I do. It, essentially how it goes is throughout the season, I find things that that are Seahawks related that I really like that I would want to keep.
Yeah.
And then by the time that the prizes rolls around, it's like, okay, well, this has been in my house now for a couple months. Like I've had time to enjoy it. And then now it can move on to its final home.
Oh, so you're like a halfway house for cool Seahawks.
Catfish!
That's exactly what it is.
That's amazing. And, yeah, I like your
and
style.
This list is the list I get to go down and they get and first
sprinkle
pick based
gifts
on,
out upon the little flockers. It's great. It's great. And look, we couldn't do it without your guys' support, man. And that's one of the amazing things about you guys as a listener base. You guys really do take care of us and holy smokes, just couldn't appreciate you more.
Oh, and we got a ton of support here this past couple weeks, too. Really want to thank our executive producers, DCH, Dustin Mock, and Brian Shaw. And people really came in over these last couple weeks and really helped with their support. So starting off with Rebecca Christensen. Becca coming in and giving us a raise from 12 up to 90. The executive, we have a new executive producer, Becca.
Wow. And that's even with me taking a weekly crap on the city of LA where she lives. And I honestly kind of feel bad about that. I mean, a tiny bit, not a lot, but a little.
She's not right in LA, so it's fine.
Is it?
Yeah, I think she may even agree with you at some points, too. Becca writes in and says, hey, guys, great shows. You deserve raises. Go Hawks. Love Becca.
You're the best, Becca. We appreciate you a ton. Hopefully you haven't run into one of those 17 Rams fans in the last couple weeks here.
No, there's a lot of people there. How would you even know that they're there?
I saw one person with Rams gear on when I was there the weekend of the Super Bowl.
That's
crazy.
I saw
one.
Yeah.
One.
Jake Burdine comes in with $300 via Venmo.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Jake. I see you, buddy.
It's the 25 a month, the Better at Life level for the whole year.
Yes, it is.
Jake says the Seahawks may not have stepped up their game this year, but you guys sure have. When I think about the value for value philosophy over the past few years, I felt like the 12-12 level was completely fair. I was happy to be at that level when there were weekly shows and the occasional bonus content, primarily consisting of an off-topic Adam rant. At this point, though, we are getting substantially more content with more research, higher profile guests, and smoother transitions and editing. So in the spirit of stepping up our game this offseason, I'm upping my pledge to the Better at Life level, and I challenge all flockers, particularly our Ring of Honor members, to reevaluate that value proposition. I'll also note that this show has opened my eyes to small-scale creator contributions, and I found myself seeking out Patreon or PayPal accounts for people that I repeatedly rely on, ranging from an Aussie outboard boat motor mechanic, shout out to Danger Marine, a guy
that's awesome,
to a guy that specializes in Linux-based storage servers. Thanks for all the hard work you guys put into this show, and go Hawks.
Dude, Jake, thank you, man. I mean, I'd like to sell us, but you just did a way better job of doing that for me. I appreciate that. You see, especially Brandon's effort of how smooth he makes this all sound, considering the problems I give him week in and week out. So that is really awesome. I'm just feel really tickled that you recognize the extra effort that we're trying to put in and the fact that we are trying to up content. Having a week like this where so many of y'all have recognized that and, you know, either upped your pledge or gotten into the flock for the first time, it's inspiring. Like, it definitely makes me want to keep going and, you know, put my phone on the dash of my truck and speak nonsense into it, you know, a couple times a week.
And Adam, we're just getting started with the people who came in this past week.
Okay.
Moving on next to Tim Timmer, who came in at $300, the Better at Life level, 25 a month for the year. Tim says, thanks for another year. I upped my donation due to inflation. Should get you to about 2 gallons of milk at your nearest Costco.
Catfish!
The Cards.
Catfish!
The Winers, and especially
Catfish!
The Rams.
Dude, Tim is on point. Yeah, I think with that donation, I could, you know, get maybe 3 gallons of gas while I was down in California. It was over $5 a gallon, dude.
Oof. And it's probably not going to get better.
I tried to offer him my left kidney for a full tank of gas. Wouldn't take it.
No, they need both. No. Both kidneys.
Both kidneys. They're like, either, you know, you drive or you don't pee. It's up to you.
Ovary Smasher 69 comes in at 145.44, 12.12 a month for the year, says, I wanted to say hi, and I love you guys. I've been listening to the show since April of 2019 and decided it was time to stop being a filthy freeloader. Well, that's, let's see, April. Okay, 1 year past the freeloader grace period.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. There's a 2 year freeloader grace period. After that, then, you need to figure something out.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I kind of respect the people that push it a little further.
Like, I can go one more year.
I can go one more year before I feel actually, guilty.
Maybe this is the year these guys stop podcasting. I don't want to drop the ball and support them for a year and then have them quit. So I'm gonna wait one more year past the grace period.
If it weren't for you guys, I probably wouldn't still be doing it and now feel reinvigorated. So if you enjoy the show, make sure that we keep doing it.
Continues on saying, you guys have the best Seahawks podcast out there, and I thought there wasn't a better time to join than after a 7-10 season. I look forward to all the content you make every week, from the 3-3 out to the Seahawkers podcast and all the extra stuff in between. I'm happy to finally support, and as always,
Catfish!
The Niners,
Catfish!
The Rams,
Catfish!
The Cardinals, and go Hawks.
The little Flockers are the best because they really do get us. They get the show. They get the tenor of it. That was awesome, man. We appreciate you a ton.
Jay Smith came in at 12.12 a month. Welcome to the flock to Jay.
Heck yeah, Jay.
Hank, PA Hawk, back in at $36 for the year. Welcome back, Hank.
Jay and Hank. You know, it's interesting. I always expect somebody to have a note attached to it, and then that way I can talk about them a little bit more.
Yeah.
But look, Jay and Hank, those are like just solid dude names. And they donated to the show like a solid dude, not a stupid freeloader, not a dirty, dirty freeloader. Uh-huh. And they didn't even need any recognition. They were just like, I'm Jay. Yeah, here's awesome. Some money.
Yeah. I don't need my note read.
So, Jay and Hank, I like your low-key humble brag.
Scott Peffers comes in via PayPal, says, I love this podcast.
Catfish!
To the local Rams. SoCal Scott, and he came in at 12.12.
Hawks! Yeah, SoCal Hawks, baby. It's a tough place to be a Hawks fan. Well, I would say that if you got any crap for being a Hawks fan down there, because I just didn't.
Yeah, it'd be probably, let's see. It would probably be tougher being a Hawks fan in Philly, New York.
Well, wait, how many cities are there in the world?
Oh, I mean, I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay, so out of those 10 million or so cities, any one of those would be harder to be a Seahawks fan in than in SoCal.
It's true.
Yeah.
Charles came in at $5 a month, says no longer a dirty freeloader, and now proudly supporting you guys in your future career aspirations. The second I heard the news about the new coaching hires, I immediately wanted to know what you guys thought about it and how you think this will influence the future scheme of our beloved defense. It dawned on me that I was getting value without returning it in kind. I honestly never cared about being a freeloader when it seemed the podcast was just a hobby, but couldn't live with myself knowing going forward that I was complicit in forcing Adam to continue on as a dirty grinder.
Yeah.
Love the show.
Catfish!
The haters and go Hawks. P.S. I still have nightmares from that
catfishing
Bigfoot story Adam told. Do better.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, we haven't had any Sam Squanch activity up here for a good long time. So things are good, man. Appreciate that. It's funny how the epiphany that people have from going from a freeloader to a little flocker, like it hits everybody different. They all have their different trigger points.
Yeah.
So I think that's interesting that it was this recent hire that had them being like, yeah, man, like I was waiting on bated breath.
Wait a second. I care what these guys think.
Yeah, exactly. And look, I mean, getting me out of the sawmill is a huge motivation for me, guys. Like, the reason why this show took forever. The last 13 days, I traveled 400 miles, at least 11 of them. And then the two that I didn't, I was grinding bandmill wheels for 13 hours in the sawmill.
Yeah.
So when I got back home, I was exhausted. I didn't have a lot of time. I'd love to not do that because it turns out it's not conducive to relationships.
Yeah, that too.
And podcasting.
Yeah. Well, this is a relationship that you and I have too.
Sure, sure. Well, while I was gone, Brittany acted out and forgot to check the propane when she left. And it got down to negative 15. And now I got to redo the plumbing in the whole house.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So that was cool. So yeah, apparently I just need to be home more. So
that's true.
I would like to take responsibility for that myself, but it's actually on you guys. So pony up. Let's go.
Greg Burke's ponying up, came in at $5 a month. Welcome to the flock to Greg.
Appreciate it, man. See, this is what I'm talking about.
Nate Smeltzer came in at $112 a month, says, hey guys, I am no longer freeloading. I've decided after that
catfish
Super Bowl to throw in my lot. If you thought listening about Cooper Kupp was annoying, imagine delivering newspapers in Spokane of all places where each headline plastered his face every day before the Super Bowl. Spokesman review, aka my job. Do better. Anyway, you guys rock it all the way each episode, and I love the rants. By far the best part of every podcast. Please never slow down on the rants, Adam. I've been a Hawks fan since the fifth grade, and I'm never giving up on them. I'm glad the fans and the flock have you guys because your pod isn't like a lot of the others around the NFL. You guys told me not to look away in 2018, and I didn't. I found myself even more entrenched with my Hawks, and that's thanks to you guys. I hope we all see Jody hold that darn trophy for Paul and his legacy because nothing would be better. Let's go, Hawks.
Go, Hawks. Yeah, man, that's the mark of a true fan right there. Thick and thin. Like, if you ever got called a bandwagon fan here during this latest era of Seahawks football and you're still a fan today, just give them the bird. Just give them the bird and
walk away.
That's
what I should have done to that Saints fan at the Target the last time I told that story.
Yep.
Rather than explain to him calmly, I should have just double birded him and kept moving.
I think the same message gets sent.
Two more raises. One from Jeff Godfrey. Oh, I think that might be. See, when Jeff is the winner of the Pick'em League and he comes in, gives us the $5 up to the $145.44 for the year.
Did he make a play this year for the top spot a lot like the Rams did with Goodell? Like, how you doing over there, Brandon?
He paid after the commissioner fact. Of this league. If you would have just paid earlier on, Jeff,
we could have cut through the nonsense. Yeah.
But no celebratory note yet from Jeff. Maybe we need to bring Jeff on to accept his top prize. So
yeah. I love that idea. Okay. Yeah.
And plus I need to know from Jeff if we're going, I think I'm going to give Jeff the pick between the Easley large and full size helmet. Mm-hmm. But if he's not into the throwback, the old school players, I also have the Michael Dixon signed helmet.
Pretty sweet. Pretty sweet. Hey, you just mentioned the throwback thing and whichever team official was out talking about that the other day.
Oh, yeah. It was the team president.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to have them for, 23 here, 22 here, but
maybe 2023.
Yeah, but maybe. I mean, we're working on it. But what the
catfish
are you talking about? How long does it take to come up with a freaking throwback uniform? I mean, good Lord. Like, you've got an entire city full of graphic designers and web developers. That's all Seattle is. And, like, you can't find a bunch of graphic designers to throw together some throwback unis for you? Give me a freaking break. This should take 2 weeks.
It's a throwback uniform. The design has been designed. You just have to make it look a little bit newer. Nike's right down the road in Portland. This isn't hard.
Yes, it's a half a day's drive. Go down there and talk to Phil Knight. Get it done. Like, what is taking 13 years to get a throwback jersey? Our current jerseys are going to be a throwback jersey by the time we actually get throwback jerseys. I don't get this.
No, didn't the rule pass like last year?
Yes.
So you put 1 week of work into it and say,
yeah,
okay, hey, should we do this? The answer is yes. Okay, let's move on. Hey, call Nike and tell them we're doing this and get the uniforms ready for 2022. Do they need to put me in charge of this?
Yes, please God, yes, because somehow the people in charge of this decision-making process took a week and decided on those freaking highlighter uniforms that are cursed that we've had to deal with. They've took the time for that crap, but can't be bothered to come up with the throwback uni. Get on it. Good Lord.
All right. One more to thank. Again, thanks to everybody who came in, including David Croyle, who upped his pledge from $5 to $15 a month. So thanks, David, for the raise.
Dude, that is awesome. Look, it is inspiring and it is exciting because it does kind of give us some extra motivation. Not so much just the dollars of it. It's more like seeing your guys' excitement for us to do more. That's it just fills up your cup. It makes you want to do more. And I'm excited to, you know, meet that challenge as best I can. And, you know, Brandon's always putting out, you know, a zillion things. So, you know, it should be awesome.
Shoot, I'm trying to slow down a little bit in the off season. In fact, well, I mean, I can't help but slow down in the off season because I've, you know, just with field goals, I think I was doing a show a day for field goals in the regular season. And so, yeah, obviously, I'm not going to do a show a day in the off season.
I mean, I'm not trying to tell you low key that you look like
catfish,
but you look tired.
I do. I need a little bit of time in the off season to build back up for the next season to where I'm going every day again.
I think you do.
Okay. Just because I didn't comb my hair. Come on.
I like it. It's playful.
We also got some reviews. One here from Charles Dubuck says best football podcast, not just best Ooh. Seahawks podcast, best Ooh. Football podcast.
Okay.
Thankfully, they pod for the Seahawks. With the best football and life insight, the dynamic between these two old friends and the content they generate week after week is golden. A must listen.
Dude, what's to argue with there?
I know. It could be like the tagline for our show.
I mean, I might just have it tattooed on my chest.
Next one here from Dookie Bear, who we're familiar with, says the Seahawks podcast. Adam the curmudgeon, the most entertaining curmudgeon on audio and now video. Love the other guy too. LOL, JK Brandon. Love you guys all year round. Keep the jokes coming. From Dookie Bear, P.S. Sorry it took so long to review. I listen on Podcast Addict and own an Android.
Oh, yeah. They make everything harder for you on the Android. So
for whatever reason, I only get the Apple Podcast reviews into my inbox through whatever service I subscribe to. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, that's awesome. Appreciate it, man. Yeah. Especially after, you know, a couple harder reviews over the last few weeks.
Yeah. Bury those 1-star reviews from the 49ers fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Got another one here. 5-star says, love the show, but only one problem. Mm. I love this show so much. I listen to a few other podcasts, but this is by far the most entertaining out of the bunch. Adam provides a funny sense of humor as well as his powers of prediction. Whereas Brandon keeps us on the path and offers really good insight on all things Seahawks. My only concern about the whole show is the Sean Alexander slander.
I would leave
a 4.5-star review if I could, just for that. But I will round up, I guess. For real, though, thanks for providing awesome content. Go Hawks. From Bro 0808.
So can you give Yo Bro a timestamp here of where he should just fast forward from when I was maybe I didn't say a lot about Sean this episode. I was there. I was present in the conversation.
You were.
I think I stopped short of slander this episode. So I'm doing better. I'm doing better.
You got the 5th star this week.
Yeah.
And then we got Gordolito Bandito, 5 stars. Hilarious podcast with insightful hosts. Dem boys funny.
Appreciate it, man. I think that's our number one goal, is to just roll out as many dad jokes as we can per episode to feel good about, and you know, maybe spare the people that are in our everyday lives all of that. We get that out here. My daughter appreciates it.
Yeah. My daughters too. I still do. I actually have a dad joke t-shirt. Did I get it for Father's Day? It was the t-shirt says dad jokes are how I roll. But it's spelled EYE for eye roll.
Yep. Yeah, you should mail that to our friend Jen, who is trying to steal dad jokes from dads. Like she rolls them out all the time now.
What? They're dad jokes. Does she?
They're dad jokes. I was like, look, okay.
This is our turf. Get off our turf.
I am totally fine with us middle-aged white dudes that are totally average, like just not having much anymore. Like we had a good run and I'm totally fine with that. The one thing that we're going to hold on to is the
catfish
dad jokes. You can't have them. Those are ours. Those are ours.
Okay. If I'm going to keep one thing between the two, I would go with the dad bod look being celebrated over the dad jokes. Like if we're keeping one, like I'm willing to give that part up if dad bods can continue to be cool.
I disagree. And the only reason I disagree is that if the dad jokes, if we get to keep those and they're funny, then that can make up for the lack of appreciation for the dad bod look. Mm. Like you can make yourself more attractive. I mean, it's called the Pete Davidson effect. The funner you are, the hotter a chick that you get that's way outside of your league. Yeah.
I'm glad that effect has a term because I've been wondering about that.
Yeah, that's what it is now.
The bard comes in, says, "Hi, fellas. Not a great time at the moment, but I'm getting through it. First of all, do we now have to address Barry as Barry the Commander or BTC? This does not sit well with me, as with the greatest respect for the longtime friend, I have never thought of him as a commander material."
Oh my gosh, I hadn't thought about that for 2 seconds, and that is so, that's so tough. I think he's going to have to go with Commander Barry.
I don't know. BTC? Yeah, that...
It takes the commander part out of it. It sounds less official, but I kind of like Commander Barry.
I like it. And again, John says,
"I'm sorry, John.
Not commander material, nor it has to be said has Barry himself." So see, Barry doesn't even consider himself commander material.
Well, see, now we just really need to give him the title so he can boost his own self-esteem.
Commander Barry, it's done.
Exactly. Aye, Commander.
Secondly, the Rams are in the Super Bowl. I remember saying to Lisa, who incidentally is not Lisa in Seattle anymore as they have moved, that there was no way I would want OBJ as a free agent. I was wrong there too, as he has done well in the playoffs. And thirdly, we have a new DC. I am not well up on college coaches or the coordinators around the league, but I'd heard of some big names available. Trouble is, we didn't get one. Promoting from within sounds like staying within the Pete Carroll bubble, and while I want him to stay, I think we could have thrown a spanner in the works and caused a rethink.
Yeah.
We haven't got it, though, and I hope we don't just muddle on as we are at the moment. If the Bengals can get to the big show, so can we. So cheer us, Seattle, and get your finger out. Go Hawks and Bengals from the Bard.
I'm with you, John. That was a hilarious email. I appreciate that a lot. But yeah,
I like the term thing. Get your finger out like that.
Oh, is that going to be adopted? Are you throwing that into your lexicon?
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I
think it's a shortened term for, I think, how finger or thumb, though. I don't know. I like get your finger
I've
out.
Always heard it as the thumb. But then again, you know, some people
can't do the thumb.
Exactly. Exactly. Sometimes you got to go with a different appendage. Yeah, but you know, he talked about the Clint Hurt thing, not getting the big dog and all that. I feel much I'll put it to you this way. The last two elections, the losing party, I've always been really mad at both of them because this automatically go to the, well, not my president, my president. And then they both did it, these last two elections, just ridiculous. It's like, well, okay, I'm not excited either, but that is our president now. And so I'm rooting for them to do a good job. I really am. I want to see them succeed greatly.
These are not the same things. I'm very fine with saying that the Rams are not my Super Bowl champion.
Well, I'm talking about Clint Hurt and his hiring.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. We may not have gotten one of the big dogs. It might not be what I wanted, the outcome. And, you know, but I'm not going to be one of those petulant, not my president people.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Rick in Arlington, Washington comes in. Find him out on Twitter at RickJr63. Says, love the show. And you read my mind on the
catfish,
the Rams episode and OBJ 100%. I was born and grew up near Cleveland. So
catfish
OBJ.
Yeah, I can see why Rick doesn't have a lot of love in his heart for OBJ. Jared and I were talking about this on our last trip, Bronco Jared. And he's like, you know, I don't root for anybody to get injured, but, you know, I was sad when OBJ went down in the Super Bowl. Like, I didn't cry. I didn't even feel sorry for him. I didn't root for it, but, you know,
I didn't clap, but I thought about having to not clap.
Yeah, exactly. Right there. And that's you're coming right up to the border of your sports hatred. Like, what's allowed? Now we know where the line is. It's keeping yourself from clapping when OBJ gets hurt in the Super Bowl.
It's the respectful thing to do, but yeah, it's, and then you don't cross the line.
That's right. That's the line when you go from sports hate to being an actual dick.
Right. You don't. And we all know from the law, the Wheaton law of life.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. And I'm actually surprised that Bronco Jarrett didn't rise to that level because he's a walking dick.
Right. So he's as a father, he's actually improved upon his status. You know, I heard
a lot about how he's very proud of himself. On this last trip, that marriage and his wife have really worked on his sensitivity, which never was, let's say, a strong suit.
Well, thanks to everybody for offering up the support. If you want to get in the flock, you can go to getintheflock.com. And just to give you an idea, with all the support that we got this last week, we stayed level with the end of the season.
Yeah, which is amazing.
I know. Usually it's a downhill trend. After February.
Right. And I'm cool with roller coasters and everything, but if you want to smooth this out for us, I'm excited.
Yeah, it's very
cool. I'm fired up to do some more video with you guys, you know?
Like, do some more video. We got free agent stuff to talk about over these next few weeks. Going to go big on that.
Oh, I was going to say, so since you guys were so amazing this week, I hadn't planned on doing Adam from the Road for my next trip down to Portland area here this weekend, but I'm going to now. So what we're going to need is all of you Ring of Honor members. I want topics.
All right.
Tell me what you want to hear about and what sort of tenor you want. So, do you want reflective Adam? Do you want, Sayer of Sooth Adam? Do you want just livid pissed Adam? Like, wait, it can't be drunk because I'll be driving. So that's out.
That's out.
Yeah.
Drunk Adam's out. All right.
Yeah.
Well, for those of you in the Ring of Honor on Facebook, and I sent out some invites to our new members as well. 1212 level gets you in there. And yeah. I'll monitor the Discord too to see if anybody posts anything in there that's rant worthy that I can forward to you.
Or just topic worthy. It doesn't have to be a rant. I can be chill. But I'm gonna do it. Sometimes I do. I don't know. I'm trying to broaden my appeal.
Okay.
And grow as a podcaster.
That's a good idea.
That might be the favorite thing that you've ever said to me right there.
Okay. We're going to thank everybody at $12 and above at the end of the show. But before we get there, let's get on to some do better and better at life.
All right, man. My do better this week, because I can't get over it, it's for
Catfish
and Sean McVay and
Catfish
and Aaron Donald and the
Catfish
Rams and their
Catfish
PR department, who somehow decided that they were going to screw with Seahawks fans even more going into the Super Bowl by putting out this narrative that, oh, well, you know, if they win, which would be, you know, almost the apocalypse, the silver lining would be that, you know, Sean McVay's probably going to go into broadcasting, or he's seriously considering it. The Rams win, Aaron Donald's going to retire. Like, he's thinking about it. Leave his legacy right there with a Super Bowl win. And so as a Seahawks fan, as you watched what might have happened, I'm still not sure if that was reality.
I've heard from someone reputable that it did not happen.
Okay, there we go. At the end of it, I was like, well, I mean, if that gets Sean McVay and Aaron Donald out of my football life, worth it, right?
You can at least accept it.
I can at least accept it. Now, fast forward a week, 2 weeks, and is Sean McVay retiring? No, his fiance comes out in a Twitter and says, oh, no, he ain't retiring. You know, forget about it. He's coming back. It's like, oh, well, thanks a lot, Sean McVay's fiance. You got terrible taste in hair gel. Like, I was so pissed to read that, you know, he's coming back. All right, fine. freaking Sean McVay coming back. I got to deal with his dumbass.
I didn't really expect the threat of him leaving to be all that real.
I did. There's a lot more money to be had in broadcasting, and the hair, expensive hair gel doesn't buy itself.
Troy Aikman just got $18 million, and he's not even one of the best ones.
No. So now I get to deal with freaking Sean McVay for who knows how long. I guess another 2 years once this whole thing implodes because they mortgaged their future and sold their soul to this the devil. Now I'm like, well, at least Aaron Donald is out of my life. That's the worst of the two.
That's
really
the one. That's the one that you want out of your life.
Yeah. And then he comes out and puts out a Twitter and it's like, oh yeah, bring back OBJ, bring back this, bring back that. Let's run it back. I'm in.
Catfish
you.
Catfish.
Thank you so much. Just retire and go away. I'm so sick of you. This is such a lie. And they just pulled the wool over our eyes, gave me false hope that I could get rid of these two jackasses, these sports jackasses out of my life. I thought they'd be gone. They are not. And I have to deal with it now. So to the stupid Rams, stupid Sean McVay, stupid Aaron Donald, I sports hate you with all of my sports hatred heart. Do better.
I'm hanging on to a sliver of hope that Aaron Donald, he hedged his comments just enough that if OBJ, because OBJ is going to be injured through most of the season. So will they bring him back? Maybe not. And, you know, can they sign, you know, some of their free agents? So maybe there's enough of those guys that won't move on that he'll be like, okay, well, I think I'm just going to retire then.
If there's anything in this world that is for, you know, justice and truth and righteousness, like, then it would come true. He would retire.
It's just time. Well, my do better this week, it's for you, Adam.
Oh,
you
fantastic.
Need to do better because,
yeah,
you ruined Shaun White's final Olympics of his career.
He knows what he did.
Well, it's not what he did. Look, I'm just minding my own business, watching the Olympics. The phone rings, and it was you.
I missed you.
You called it the worst time because when you called, there was some other American who was going down. I think they were doing the half pipe. And so what happened?
Some other, there was another person going down the half pipe, not Sean White.
Not Sean White, the other guy.
Yeah.
Crashes. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, it doesn't really matter because Sean White's coming up. And, you know, you see crashes on the half pipe all the time.
Sure.
Sean White's final run of his Olympic career.
Mm-hmm.
And you were on the phone. I'm trying to watch at this, you know, historic moment.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens? Sean White wipes out on the half pipe. He has to go with his, first run score, puts him out of the top three. And so he's out of the medals and he ends his career snowboarding outside of the medal stand. And I don't know who else to blame because I was fine watching it. And in probably real time, I don't know if it was live or not, but you happened to call while I was watching and these two crashes happened. And you know what? I wouldn't have thought anything of it if I had hung up and then a couple more people would have crashed. But everybody else's runs from there on out, no crashes. The only two runs I saw while I was on the phone with you were Sean White's, the other snowboarder
not
that
Sean
wiped
White.
Out, the, not Sean White, the other crash that happened while I was on the phone with you for ruining Sean White's last Olympics. Adam, do better.
Hey, look, this is probably fair criticism, but I'm going to push back because I can't have this hung around my neck. Oh, you're blaming me and my phone call? How about Sean White getting old? How about to blame that?
How dare he? Dare he be old?
Freaking agents.
Catfish!
Like, you just don't age. Just stop it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
For one thing, when he ages and gets old, it makes me feel old. And so really, Sean White needs to do better.
Yeah, 100%. See, exactly. Now I'm glad we finally figured this out. This isn't on me. How dare you?
Yeah, well, you're going to be saying how dare me after a moment when I have my Better at Life nomination here.
Did you spend this last week and a half just finding ways to needle me? Is that what it was?
Maybe.
It's like, at the end of the show, I'm giving it to him. He's getting the business this week.
My Better at Life this week, though, is for general manager for the Rams,
mm-hmm.
Les Snead.
Well, okay.
I know.
All right.
I as much as I hate the Rams, there's a narrative out there that I hate even more.
Oh, okay.
Remember the narrative that a team, they just can't win if a quarterback is making more than 13% of the salary cap?
Right. Just
this arbitrary number of, oh, well, you know, since Troy Aikman, back when he was the quarterback for the Cowboys, making 13%, he was the last guy to do it, or because it just, you know, it hasn't happened over that 13% number, even though Matt Ryan was over 13% and was up 28-3 against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl before choking
it
away.
But he didn't win because it's impossible, Brandon. It's impossible.
It's impossible. It is impossible making more than 13%. And so with only four quarterbacks with greater than 12% of the cap have ever won the Super Bowl. That's Steve Young, Troy Aikman, because he was at 13, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady twice. And then there's this other stat that I found out, because I think this all came from The Ringer, an article from them. The only team to win a Super Bowl while having its two highest paid players make more than 21.6% of the salary cap was in 1994 with the 49ers with Steve Young and Jerry Rice.
Mm.
So not only did Les Snead defeat this narrative, he destroyed it. The top five cap hits to the Rams. I'll name you three starters for the Super Bowl team that were in the top five. You got Matt Stafford. Now, Matt Stafford, despite being a quarterback, he doesn't hit that threshold that Young, Aikman, Manning, and Brady hit because he's at 10.69, $20 million cap hit. You got Aaron Donald, 7.69. with 14.4 million cap hit. You got Jalen Ramsey, 9.7 million cap hit.
Cup.
There's two other players in the top five. You think Cup was one of them?
Yeah. Didn't he just get a deal?
He just got a deal, but it doesn't kick in until next season. He just got 5 million of the bonus money. So he is outside of the top five for the cap hit to the 2021 Rams.
Okay. Let me think for a second. Who would be my next guest then? Leonard Floyd.
He will be next season, but
I'm just a year ahead of everything.
I know. Yeah. You're a year ahead because you would have to go back a year to get these guys into your top five to even think about them. The other two top players in the top five, quarterback Jared Goff, 13.2% of the Rams salary cap, $24.7 million. And Todd Gurley at just under 5% of the Rams salary cap at $8.4 million. Those were the other two guys in the top five. And so, yes, not only did Jared Goff beat that number or at least tie it with Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
He wasn't even on the team. Their two top players were both quarterbacks at 23.89% of the salary cap.
Yeah.
And so for Les Snead for destroying that narrative, better at life than Skip Bayless.
Okay. This is what I'm going to need you to do. I need you to immediately get out of your chair and walk to your kitchen. There'll be a bottle of Dawn dish soap right there.
I can't hear you when I walk away though. I got the dish soap instructions, but now
okay. I figured you should know what to do from there. You wash out that dirty thing that you call a mouth after just saying what you just said.
I hate that narrative though. I hate it so much.
Yeah, I could tell it bugs you. That's one of those. It's like, well, that's true until it isn't.
And now it's not. Okay,
that was always how I kind of felt about that. But isn't it? There is a part of hearing those numbers that was gratifying to me, and that was that Todd Gurley is still getting paid.
This was the last year. This was the last year that he was on the books for the Rams.
That's amazing, though.
$8.4 million he made on the Rams cap this year,
and somehow those massive, massive whiffs didn't paralyze this franchise.
Well, I mean, not when you make up for it in other ways, like having, you know, the commissioner in your pocket.
That's exactly right. Helps when you have a few calls go your way.
So,
I mean, all of them,
all the calls. And what it seven shots at the end zone from the 8-yard line.
Well, I get that's how many it took, right? Seven shots.
Yeah.
It could have been.
It could have been more. Yeah. If they don't get it on 15. The seventh time, then they just get more tries.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, if they needed 24, they would have made it happen.
All right. Let's get this gross taste out of my mouth and all the listeners. Who do you got for better at life?
All right. My better at life than Skip Bayless this week is for a NFL journalist, a writer that is actually doing their job correctly for a change, because we talked about it earlier in the show, Brandon, all of the ridiculous stories that don't make any sense about Russell Wilson being traded here or there willy-nilly for, you know, a bag of footballs and a pack of peanuts, right? Well, I got to give 12th Man Rising their due. And you know what? I thought there was a byline on this story, but there doesn't seem to be. So we're just going to call it 12th Man Rising. Okay. They're the guys who are better at life than Skip Bayless. And I won't bore you with the details of the article because we've already covered most of it in a lot of ways. But the headline reads as follows. Seattle Seahawks have zero motivation to trade Russell Wilson. Amen. Hallelujah, brother. Yes, exactly. Somebody who actually comes out and, like, I don't know, spreads facts, logic, and reason about this whole situation and about the fact that Russell isn't going anywhere this year. So everybody can just freaking chill the hell out. 12th Man Rising for you and your guys' staff for actually doing real journalism for half a second. Better at life than Skip Bayless.
Hey, we just need some common sense out there. That's all.
That's all. Like, it just was nice. I mean, last year we didn't even get one of those articles.
That's true. It was all, this is going to happen. Just wait till it happens. It's happening.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So this year we got at least one.
You know what? Who I credit that to Russ, because in his entire Super Bowl Radio Row appearances,
yeah,
like he had the opportunity to just go right back at it as he did last year. And sure. No, he signed his Subway sandwiches, didn't cause any controversy. And it was the biggest controversy that he was actually putting marker to bread and signing sandwiches.
Right.
And that's where I want my quarterback controversy to be at.
And hey, we got all of our Go Hawks. So that felt nice.
Yeah. And, you know, and speaking of that, you know what? We got to give the Go Hawks to our $12 members of the flock and above. Let's give them some thanks.
Keith Kedover, a.k.a. Floctimus Prime, University of Cybertron, Little Flockers, roll out.
DCH from Sparks, Nevada, the University of Montana Grizzlies.
Eric Trench, rooting for the Seahawks out of Renton, Washington, graduated from Eastern Washington University.
Jamison Holman from Murray, Utah, representing Mississippi State University. Hail State and go Hawks.
Gary Blum from Chappaqua, New York and the University of Pennsylvania, your 2016 Pick'em League champion.
Ron Pepper, UNLV Runnin' Rebels, San Francisco, California.
Hong Kong!
Hawks!
Hong Kong!
Hawks!
Hong Kong!
Hawks!
Ella Esparza, Woodway, Texas, Yale University, and Sam Houston State, Eat 'em Up Cats.
Lisa in Seattle.
Samuel Gelber, NoHo, California.
David Van Cleve, Camas, Washington, home of the Papermakers.
The Ocean Say, Luleå, Sweden, from Luleå Eskimos and Vancouver Front.
Paul from San Diego.
Aaron Fisher, a.k.a. Lock It and Put It in Your Pocket, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Chris Boucher, a.k.a. The Biggest Little Flocker, South Central Louisiana State University. Go Mud Dogs.
Hey, Seahawkers. My name is Garen Taylor. I live in one of the most beautiful places in the world, North Idaho. Hashtag on the roads. Go Hawks.
Next up, a thanks to our executive producers, DCH, Dustin Mock, Brian Shaw, and Becca Christensen. And continuing down the list of $12 supporters and above, starting with Christina in Manassas, Virginia, Craig in Camas, Roe in Federal Way, Sven in Berlin, Deutschland, James in Linwood, Young in Anchorage, Jake in Seattle, Jared in Missoula, Hector in Issaquah, Tim in Austin, Christian in Oslo, Norway, Jeremy in the Bronx, Kathy in Eureka, California, Joshua in Seven Oaks, England, Brandon in Huntersville, North Carolina, James in Beaux Arts,
Pepper in Greenville, South Carolina. Jonathan in Ridgefield. Mitchell in El Dorado Hills, California. Kevin in Onaway, Idaho. Keegan in Colorado Springs. JC in Horsford, England. Jeffrey in Kansas City. Kari in Rochester. Brian in Berlin, Connecticut. Connie in Gothenburg, Sweden. Taylor in South Cleellum. Tracy in Kaneohe, Hawaii. Eric in Seattle. Marvin in Riverdale, Utah. Dean in the Greater Hawkdom. Kevin in Surrey, BC. John C. in the Greater Hawkdom. John W. in New York. Shoko in New York. Glenn in Ocoee, Florida. Patrick in Sacramento. Bryson in Eltopia. Jay in Monroe. Jeremy in Federal Way. Jeff in Bainbridge Island. Joshua in Candor, New York. Kenneth in Hutto, Texas. Eric in Clovis, California. Garen in Cataldo, Idaho. Ivy in Renton. Mario in Seattle. Cora in Ditters, Deutschland. Anders in Vila, Denmark. Warren in Dundee, Oregon. Chris in Austin. Rafe in Beaverton, Oregon. Amy in Squim. Preston in Phoenix, Arizona. Marcus in Potts Point, Australia. Richard in Killeen, Texas. Joseph in Vancouver. Timothy in Olympia. Marlon in the Greater Hawkdom. Norma in the Greater Hawkdom. Chad in Lexington Park, Maryland. Bridget in Redmond. Taylor in Spokane. Kyle in the Greater Hawkdom. Ryan in Salt Lake City. Dan in the Greater Hawkdom. Kevin in Great Glen, England. Chris in Billings, Montana. DJ in Menifee, California. Jamie in Oswestry, England. Jalen in Minneapolis, Kansas. Terrence in Seattle. Eugene in Henderson, Nevada. Daniel in Post Falls, Idaho. Jerv in Bristow, Virginia. Ian in Seattle. Joshua in Italy. Jason in Vancouver. Tanner in Kalispell, Montana. Jason in Panama City, Florida. Ryan in Crestview, Florida. Johnny D in Silverton, Oregon. Julio in Mililani, Hawaii. Hannah in Chesterfield, Virginia. Brian in Omak. Jeff in Gilbert, Arizona. Gordon in Whitefish, Montana. Dr. G in League City, Texas. Andrew in Phoenix. Brian in Fairbanks. Nathaniel in Stockholm, Sweden. Devante in Boise. Sean in Cascade, Iowa. Leland in South Jordan, Utah. CJ in David City, Nebraska. David in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Brian in New York. And Jay in Fairbanks. Yes, big thanks to all our $12 members and above. You get all the Go Hawks. You get all the sandwiches that Russell Wilson has signed this offseason. We'll try and compile those, and we'll all have a big get-together maybe in the summer and break out those sandwiches.
I have a mission for you this offseason in terms of prizes.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to need you to come up with a Russell Wilson signed sandwich.
I have to come up with away. It?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they exist. You just said they exist.
They must exist. He was signing them.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, I would go just make sure it's not the tuna. maybe go with something like, you know, the Italian, right? Because there's more cured
veggie
meats.
I think the veggie one would be the best way to go.
Maybe.
Anything. Well, okay. Yeah. Italian. Okay. Yeah. With the cured meats.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. Have a little longer shelf life.
And you know what? I think that is, I think that's part of the, I don't remember the full breakdown of the Danger Witch, but I know that there was some Italian salami on there.
There you go. So, you're going to have to get one of those. And then once you receive the sandwich, we're going to have to figure out how to freeze dry it so that it lives on forever.
Okay. Let's do the goal of the offseason has been set.
Yeah.
It's not content related. It's not, anything with furthering the show. It is obtaining a Russell Wilson autographed sandwich.
And freeze drying it. See, you're leaving out the very important part because that's a science experiment I've been wanting to play with for a while.
I kind of hope that when I find it, it is already freeze dried.
It's interesting. I mean, how many fresh sandwiches could you have delivered to Russell Wilson's house before he just signs one and sends it back to you? So no more show up. It's like freaking Italian again.
That's what we have to do.
Yeah.
I just need to know Russell Wilson's address. We have a game plan now.
Yeah. Yeah. Just anything that looks like it could be Russell Wilson's house, just throw a sandwich at it.
And with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. I'm going to chew one more time.
Is it donuts for lunch?
Donuts for lunch is delicious. Chocolate covered chocolate donuts, Brandon. Amazing. Yum, yum, yum.